Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June 19th, 2024, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are in Chapter 2, There is a Solution, page 26, the second paragraph. So he returned to the doctor through that one paragraph, ending with, why was this? Today's readers are, and thank you for your service, for the 12 steps, Barbara W., 12 Traditions, Kelsey R., reading the text are Vanessa G., Vicky V., and our backup is Reba P. The newcomer greeter is Tony B., and the host of the second hour is Leah S., and Kathy S. will be giving our announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, June 18, 2024, 7 a.m. meeting is 21,494. That's 21494. And for the 10 a.m. meeting is 21495. That's 21495. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Barbara W. to read the 12 steps.
My name is Barbara. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater and happy to be in this family. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our life had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. We made a decision to turn our will, our lives, over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, we made a searching, fearless, moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being, the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove these defective characters. Seven, we humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons that we have harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And 10, continue to take personal inventory of ourselves, and when we were wrong, properly admitting it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will and the power to carry that out. And 12, having a spiritually awakened as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message of compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me take service today.
Okay, thank you so much, Barbara W. I will now ask Kelsey R. to read the 12 traditions.
Hey, good morning. This is Kelsey R. in Texas. Tradition one. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Kelsey. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in Chapter 2, There is a Solution, page 26, the second paragraph, so he returned to the doctor through one paragraph ending with, why was this? I will ask, I said Barbara W., but that's not right. I will ask Vanessa G. to get started.
Hi, everyone. This is Vanessa G., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. Page 26. So he returned to this doctor, whom he admired, and asked him point blank why he could not recover. He wished above all things to regain self-control. He seemed quite rational and well-balanced with respect to other problems, yet he had no control whatever over alcohol. Why was this? So I know that this is the story of one of the men who contributed heavily to the beginning of Alcoholics Anonymous, Roland Hazard, and he went to, who was one of the finest psychiatrists of the day, and was not able to recover under his care, and then eventually became spiritually recovered, which was what I was lacking too. So when I look at the paragraph, I think about the three things that I can relate to. And the first thing is, above all things, I wished to recover. You know, I wished to be able to control my food. I became single-minded about that. I first became single-minded about it in my disease, you know, obsessively trying to eat just one or eat what I wanted, not being able to do the things that I wished to do, and with food. And then I had to come to the recognition that no matter what, I was not going to have any control. I was never going to regain the control that I thought I had in the past. And I had to come to that understanding that I had no control whatever. And then I had to ask myself the question, why? Why is that? Why was I unable to do that? That question wasn't answered until I, too, was able to find a spiritual answer to my question, to find out that it wasn't a food issue, that it was a spiritual issue. And and that there were certain requirements that I was going to have to meet in order to recover. The people on this line, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, my experience up until that point of coming to the place of becoming hopeless, of exhausting all human power, all the medical people that I sought for an answer, all of the books I read, all the podcasts I listened to, I needed to have my fellows, my real compulsive overeater fellows, show me the way. Show me the way to God and to recovery. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Vicki, for getting us started. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience. So who would like to share on this paragraph, the second paragraph on page 26?
Janet B.
Nadia E. Janet B. Nadia E., I think you said. Who else?
Elena C. Elena C.
Harlan, Elena. Okay.
Roz G.
Roz G. We'll take a couple more. Star one to unmute, or I'll just take this group of five. Okay, Janet B., Nadia E., Harlan G., Elena C., and Roz G. Go ahead, please, Janet, followed by Nadia.
Hi, good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So it says, he wished above all things to regain self-control. Well, when I was a little girl, I'm sure I wished for a pony or a new bicycle or something, and it did nothing. But here was a guy who it seemed he had taken a first step, right? He visited Dr. Young. He understood all about this illness. He understood he was powerless over alcohol and his life was unmanageable and he still couldn't recover. And that was me for my first 6.5, 7 years in Overeaters Anonymous. I knew I was powerless over food. I'd been in enough meetings to get that. Okay, I'm powerless. Yes, my life is a total train wreck. Great. And so people said, great, you admit you're powerless. Now here's a food plan, stick to it. And I think somewhere in the back of my mind was, okay, you guys, you're telling me I have no power, but that at the same time you're telling me to have power to stick to a food plan. That doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense because our solution isn't wishing or desire, right? Back on page 24, it says, that we pass into a state where the most powerful desire to stop is of absolutely no avail, is useless. And now we see knowledge doesn't do it, right? He understood. So he had desire, he had knowledge, and that was me. I had desire. I wanted to stop more than anything. I had knowledge. I had a good food plan, but I couldn't because what was my problem? Of course, we'll see that in two chapters from now. Lack of power. That was his dilemma. Desire doesn't get me power. Knowledge doesn't get me power. How do I get power? And this beautiful book tells me how I get power. It is by surrendering my entire life to a loving God. And if I think God isn't loving, well, what does our book tell us? It says that the main purpose of this book is to access a power greater than ourselves, which will solve your problem. If this God is going to take time out of his busy day running the universe to solve my problem, that's a God who must love me. And if he loves me like that, that he'll stop doing whatever he's doing with all the war and poverty going on in this world to help me, that's a God I don't have to be afraid of. That's a God I can turn my entire will and life over to. And then once I do that, I have the serenity that I and the courage to face my past, to look at all the rotten things I did, to make amends for them, because I know that God loves me and will help me and that he's got my back. So to me, you know, this paragraph and this emphasizes once again, desire doesn't do it. Knowledge doesn't do it. The only thing is power. And the only way I get that power is by surrendering to a loving God who has all power. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janet. Nadia E., you're up, followed by Harlan G.
Good morning, my beautiful family. It's Nadia E. from Toronto. And, you know, I made a pact with my higher power that I need to share. I need to share this week sometime. And because I just get nervous. I mean, I've been in the rooms of OA since 1995, and I basically got it. I got this power at my first meeting, which is totally, it just blows me away still. I'm not bulimic, I'm not anorexic, I've never been overweight, but my bottom was raised when I came into the meeting because I knew like there was something totally strange with me and food, and it was just making me crazier. And that's what I just need to rely on, this power, and I can't explain it. Like if there's a newcomer out there, you know, it's just, I can't explain. And you know what? It's none of my business. It's none of my business to explain it. It's just, I feel it in my heart and in my soul. And it's daily. It's a daily reprieve. I need to get on my knees and say, help me, God. Show me how that just release me from the bondage of myself, that I may better do your will. And not Nadia's will, because that can get me into a lot, that gets me into trouble. And so I surrender my food today. I surrender volume. I surrender trying to eat like other people. Like, what is that? Like that recently I've been doing, like, you know, okay, he stopped. Well, then I should stop too. Or she's still eating. Well, maybe I should continue eating because that's what a normal person, but no, I'm not a normal eater. I need to admit to myself every day, I am not a normal eater. I do not have a normal relationship with food. And so I, you know, what is it? Why is it? It doesn't matter. The point is that I am the way I am, and only with my higher power can I recover. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nadia. Harlan G., you're up, followed by Elena C.
Thank you, Katie, for your service this morning. Thanks for taking the meeting. I'm Harlan G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona. The year was 1931, and Roland Hazard was trying to get to Dr. Freud. Freud was the preeminent psychiatrist in the world at that time, and Freud wasn't taking on any new patients. And he tried to get to Adler, and Adler wasn't taking on any new patients. So in 1931, Roland Hazard went to Geneva, Switzerland, to place himself under the care of Dr. Carl Jung, J-U-N-G, pronounced Jung. This was 1932. After 1 year under the care of Jung, is it odd or is it God that he got to Jung? Because Freud and Adler believed that all solution lie within the mind, within the cerebral. Jung departed with them. He parted ways with them and believed that here and there, as we're going to find out in the next few days, there are people who have had what's called vital spiritual experiences. And Roland was released by Jung before this incident that we're reading about this morning. And he went to Paris and saw some friends of, his parents. And they said, Roland, my boy, what are you doing in Paris? And he told them about how Jung had cured, quote unquote, of course we know that's not true, his alcoholism. So they decided to celebrate with a bottle of champagne. And Roland gets completely drunk and returns to the doctor, and the doctor is looking at him, and Roland is absolutely befuddled because Roland and Jung don't know Silkworth, and on page 7 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says at the very end of the first paragraph, it says, I had been, this is Bill Wilson talking, I had been seriously ill bodily and mentally, the allergy and the twist of the mind. And then the next line, it says on page 7, it relieved me somewhat to learn that in alcoholics, the will is amazingly weakened when it comes to combating liquor, though it often remains strong in other respects. My incredible behavior in the face of a desperate desire to stop was explained. And understanding myself now, I fared forth in high hope. Roland Hazard is going through exactly that. He has been analyzed by Jung for a year. He can't, it's incomprehensible to him that he went back to drinking. But if we sneak up to page 43 of the big book, which we're going to get to not today or tomorrow, but it says very simply, the last paragraph in More About Alcoholism, it says, once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink, except in a few rare cases, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. Roland wasn't tapping into his higher power. Roland wasn't spiritual work. And this is why he drank again, and so will I. Thanks for your service, Katie. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Harlan. Okay, Elena C., you're up, followed by Roz G.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C., recovered in South Carolina. And I am also very fascinated with the history of AA and kind of history. I'm into psychology, and so I have a lot of respect for Dr. Jung and his psychoanalytic approach. What I want to share, maybe added to what Harlan said, that Dr. Jung was the first psychologist, Western psychologist, that introduces the term and the intervention of spirituality in psychotherapy. And Dr. Jung was very fascinated with the religion in which he was brought up. His father was a pastor. And it goes beyond the religion, and, you know, introduces spirituality. And he said that the world's problem is a spiritual problem, first and foremost. And so anyway, Bill W., in one of his speeches that I heard, talks about he's not a founder of AA. Dr. Jung is, because Dr. Jung treated Roland, and then I'm going to go back to that. Roland came and I believe got Abby from the judge, Oxford group, and then Abby went to Bill. And so Bill W. surrendered in his humility that he's not the founder of AA. So anyway, back to Roland, you know, he comes to Dr. Jung. He is treated by the psychoanalytic approach and then goes and, you know, I didn't know he gets friends in Paris. That's so funny to celebrate the champagne. By the way, I celebrated a while ago, 1 year recovery with a piece of chocolate. So you go figure. But anyway, so he comes back and he is pretty much recovered in other areas of his life, but he has not, just because he didn't drink that much, he is not that bad in the other areas of his life, just in this problem of drinking, because if he were to go a long time in drinking, sure enough, he will be not recovered in any area of his life. And so, you know, it's because addiction impacts other areas of our lives, surely for me. And, you know, I wanted to share, I don't know how much time I have, but for me, this self-control that it talks about in this paragraph, it's about, you know, I had this morning as I woke up, one of my friends did not do what, actually, one of my best friends from childhood did not do what I asked her to do about to help my mother. And, you know, and I heard about it from some other person, you know, and I wanted, my first thought, I'm going to share with her sent her a text about, oh, my goodness, I can't believe you didn't help my mother. But then here's the self-control.
Time, please.
I stopped, and I didn't do that. And I just made connection with my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elena. And then now we have Roz G, and then we'll open it up for more shares. And if you just joined us, we're on page 26, the second paragraph. So he returned to his doctor. Go ahead, please, Roz.
Okay, thank you, Katie. My name is Roz G, recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in Palmdale, California. And, you know, the way I see it this morning, this paragraph, is that I went to a lot of diet gurus and books and personalities and even a kind of a medical program, not an official medical program, but a, like, you know, air quote medical program, to get help with my being overweight. And I admired all these different entities or people. You know, I thought, oh, this one's going to have the answer. Oh, this one's going to have the answer. Even therapists, you know, and none of them had the answer. And I wished that I could have regained control, and, you know, that the fooling the female fat cell book would have been the answer. And it didn't work. None of it worked, as you know, we all talk about. And so today I realize that, you know, I have no control, but that there is a spiritual solution. And thank God for this big book, because I take me with me. I take me wherever I go. And me and my friend went to Mexico last week for vacation. And all, you know, I thank God that the spiritual principles lie within me, and that I do the work, and that I took my program with me. I took my review. I took my 10 steps. I took my food plan. I took it all. And I know that I cannot control myself if I get into the food. And so once again, I thank God for this recovery. Without God, without the spiritual solution, without the doctor's opinion, I would go right back into the food and to the madness. And so with that, I pass. Thank you.
Katie, you're muted.
Katie, we don't hear you. Katie, star one.
Okay, I don't know how I got muted. Sorry about that. Thank you. Okay, so who else would like to share on page 26, the second paragraph?
Blanca B.
Loretta H.
Okay, I heard Loretta H, and there was people before that, but I didn't hear you.
Blanca B.
Shanka B. C. Okay, I got Shanka, yeah. Or Bianca or Vanka, I'm not sure. Okay, Loretta, Shanka, B. who else?
Melissa
okay.
C.
Melissa.
Andy
C.
Susan G.
Anita J.
Is that Susan B?
Susan G. Tennessee.
Susan G. Okay. Who else?
And that was Shanista, the first one.
Okay.
Roy
okay.
C.
So I'm sorry, who?
Roy C.
Roy C. Okay. Okay, we could take one more. Okay, let's go with this. We have Shanista first, then Loretta H. I think it's Blanca BG, Melissa C, Anita J, Susan G, and Roy C. Go ahead, please, Shanista, followed by Loretta H.
Good morning, Shanista N., recovered compulsive eater in Houston.
In the paragraph, it says, you know, the age-old question, why can I not recover? The answer is pretty straightforward for me anyways. I'm an addict. I'm a compulsive eater and an addict. Now, the why of the why, that's a whole other ball of wax, but that energy on that is not worth anything. I'm here because I'm an addict. I'm a compulsive overeater. We're here because we have the same problem, common problem, but also the common solution, more importantly. And our common solution is a higher power and working these steps and practicing these principles and recreating our lives through all of that work, one day at a time. And so I'm just grateful that I don't have to worry about the why behind the why, that I know I'm an addict and that I know that there's a solution, and it's written pretty straightforward in this book if I'm just willing to follow directions and do the things that I don't want to do. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Shanista. That was a quick share. Okay, Loretta H., you're up, followed by Blanca, I believe, or whoever you were that sounds like that.
Good morning, Katie, and good morning, all. Along with my precious God, you are saving my life. Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. My disease and my entity is anorexia. And the only reason I talk about that is because for me, that is very powerful. I've never done real deep drugs, but it will, that's what it does for me. I get higher than a kite when I am not eating. Long story short, so today it says the definition of is practicing the principles in all our affairs. So in my walk, I have to believe that abstinence is spiritual and my food plan is a jewel, which I still do text somebody after 23 years. Honest accountability. She doesn't care what I eat because the only person that knows what I need is me and God and my nutritionist. Long story short, last night I read and studied Step 10 and 11. And it talks about recoiling from the hot flame and that neutrality is the key to my way of living today. We recoil from it like a hot flame. And that's how I live today. If I can live in neutrality, not better than, not less than, just human, and be a good citizen of the world, and that means doing Step 10s, doing Step 11s, working with others, because those are growth steps. And for me, as it says in the book, if I'm not spiritually fit, and it says on 83, there's a long period of reconstruction. We must take the lead, a remorseful mumbling. So the remorseful mumbling is what gets me in trouble, and that's why I have to do a 10-step all the time, or the 11 every night, where I see patterns where I am being selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. So that I can actually, I crave neutrality today in my whole life for anything I do. If I can just be neutral, do the pause, I can stay spiritually fit. But that is where my abstinence has to be, in the spiritual realm. And my food plan, I learned how to eat in OA, don't get me wrong. I will die of compulsive overeating, don't get me wrong. But I need that spiritual essence for me to travel in each day. So I don't use, because I love and I still covet at times, the anorexia. But that is just me. I am spiritually fit at this moment because I just did two-way prayer. And I'm talking to you guys, and you're helping me stay abstinent.
Time, please.
Thank you. Thanks, Katie. God bless everybody. Stay neutral.
Thank you. Okay. I believe it's Blanca BG, but I'm not sure, followed by Melissa C.
Yes, it is Blanca BG. Thank you, moderator, for your service. Hello. Good morning, brothers and sisters in program. Wow, that last line. Look the doctor point blank and say, why can't I stop? Wow. Says it all in my life. And it also occurred to me, what an overachiever. You know, how I I just did everything I could. I strove to be an overachiever in everything because I couldn't control that secret, shameful part of my life. And I know I've heard that before, that many addicts are in every other facets of their life. There are many that just are excellent. And that was me. You know, from the time I was very young, I wanted to be the best at everything. And in many areas I was, from the time I was 7 years old. I was interested in music and singing, and I always got the parts. You know, I always got a role, a good role in all the little shows that my elementary school put on. And then fast forward to high school, same thing. I excelled in English in my work and all my studies, got A's, again, got all the parts in the musicals. And nope, that my shameful little secret was right there on my shoulder with all the adulation and all of the compliments and good things in my life I had to look forward to. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. My addiction was on, that monkey was on my back every minute of every day. Fast forward to college. Got a full scholarship to college. Oh, things were wonderful. Everything's going my way, getting all the attention I need. But the monkey's on my back. He was out in the parking lot doing push-ups all the time, always there. Couldn't stop. And the only reason I bring all of this up is because this disease is deadly. It will kill me. And today, where am I today? 71 years old. And the addiction, that monkey is right there behind me, ready to attack me at any moment and kill me. It's killed friends. It's killed loved ones. And it will do the same to me if I do not continue to keep coming back, listening to all of you, taking it one day at a time, no matter what. I never stopped coming back, and I'm still alive. And that is why. And I will stop right there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Blanca BG. Okay, Melissa C., you're up, followed by Anita J.
Hey, good morning, Katie. Thanks so much for your service. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I read this and I think, how many doctors and how many plans I went to. And, you know, I remembered, like, my parents spending thousands of dollars to help me. And, you know, I went to, like, one of those hospital-based programs where it was, you know, I didn't eat. And that was really the solution, was I was, you know, given shakes and follow it. And we went to, like, a series of courses. And, I mean, they did all kinds of blood work on me and did all kinds of write-ups. And I lost weight. And only, of course, to put it back on, right? And every time I would regain the weight, or every time I found that this wonderful, you know, whatever doctors they were, I took prescriptions, I took Fen-Phen, I've done all sorts of things. I had, you know, parents that went right along with the ride, you know, on the ride with me, because all I wanted was to get the weight off, to be normal, to not live in this torture. And I could do it for a period of time. I could always do it for a period of time, but it always gave way, because every single one of these solutions required willpower, every one. And so when it failed, I never would go back to the doctor and say, why did this not work? Because I knew it was something wrong with me. And it was like, I just was so convinced that I was the, like, weakest, lowest piece of crap on the earth, and I was terrified of letting any of those people know. And so, you know, my solution would be I would get like the assets, you know, I don't care anyway, is exactly what I would say. You know, I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me. But it did. It mattered so much. But it was so painful to want something that badly. And no, I just knew I didn't have the power to do it. And nobody knew or, you know, or told me, or I don't think they knew, that what was going to be required was I was going to have to change from the inside out, not I was going to have to change what I ate. Yes, of course. You know, not that I was going to have to take any medication or, but actually what was required for someone like me was an internal rearrangement. And nobody knew that. And nobody told me that. And so I walked around for years really in the dark until I came to Overeaters Anonymous. And it might have taken me a minute to become willing to do what was required, but thank God you people told me the answer. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa. Okay, Anita J., you're up, followed by Susan G.
Thank you, Katie. This is Anita J., recovered in Massachusetts. Oh, a couple of things are just hitting me between the eyes. I think of the mailman, not my mailman, but the husband of one of the women I hired to babysit when I went off to deliver lectures at the diet workshop, dressed in an adorable dress. And he told his wife one day, that woman is a bundle of nerves. And I just, you know, that he could see through me because I was living a lie. But anyway, I just said some sarcastic thing like, oh, he has a psych degree, does he? What does he do for a living? And then she tells me he's a mailman. And I don't know. I never did make an amend. I don't know where or what she is, if she's still alive. But what I couldn't face, I'd put down, that kind of sarcasm. And I learned a while ago with the first therapist I ever went to, who was a shrink, I saw through him. He had all kinds of issues. Why was I so good at seeing everybody else's issues? Anyway, he could not help me either. If he could, he would have. If I could have listened, I would have. There's no way I was ready to listen to anything. It took me decades in OA, which I never left. I entered, I never left, but did I listen? The body's not enough to be here. The ear's got to be open. And once I really wanted to hear the message, it's come to me every morning at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, except on Saturdays, and at 8:30 on Sundays. And that's when God entered my life, and I began to be the person I was meant to be. I pray that for all of you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Anita J. Okay, Susan G., you are up, followed by Roy C.
Oh, thank you so much, Katie. Thanks for your service. And thanks for everybody on the line, and welcome to the newcomers. So he wished above all things to regain self-control. Boy, that was me for years in OA. But I had to change my priorities. I really had to change my priorities. Food, for me, food is not the focus today. It's to be a weight to my power and to be useful. That's the focus today. Here's the miracle. I don't want to regain control anymore. Wow, fathom that. Who knew? When asking myself repeatedly, asking doctors repeatedly, why? Asking why, or what if my life were different or somebody else was different, actually. Not me. I don't want to change. I want everything else to change. Asking that question was exhausting and futile. I surrendered. I was hopeless. I asked one of you to take me through the steps, through this book, and I was out of ideas. And I lost my desire to regain control and more through this process. So now I ask, what's next? And that relaxes me. It opens me for me to walk in peace and freedom, to be useful today. Surrender to this power. That's my serenity. That's my joy. And I love the life I have today. And I love who I'm becoming. And nobody in my life has changed. My husband's the same. My kids are the same. My community's the same. Where I volunteer, all those communities are the same. I've changed. And so I will say that this sweet unknowing of what this power is, call it God, call it power, call it whatever you need or want. That's my spiritual certainty. And that is my delight today. And I continue to be amazed that I can not hurt myself with food, can be abstinent today, not by my own power. I do the work that you all taught me and use these steps to guide me to be a better person, to live by these spiritual principles. So grateful. I'm so grateful. Call me. Let's talk about gratitudes. Let's talk about how it works. I love it. Thank you. So many of you that are on the line today that have shared today, you've helped me. I called you and you've helped me. I'm so grateful today to pass it forward, to walk in peace. That'll pass.
Thank you, Susan. Okay, Roy C., you're up, and then we'll have time for one or two more.
Good morning. This is Roy C., compulsive overeater from New Jersey, and I'm happy to be here, and thanks, everybody, for their service. A couple things that struck me in the reading this morning. I first heard of Carl Jung 50 years ago as a young man, and I'm still hearing about him today as an older gentleman and a compulsive overeater. And I'm looking around the room that I'm sitting in, and everything seems to be in order, and everything seems to be right by me, except for I have this problem of compulsive overeating that I have no control over. So I guess I go to the doctor again, but again, the doctor's not that higher power. It's not the end all. I saw a doctor yesterday about my eyesight, and I know that the final answer isn't there. The final answer for me, I'm supposing, it's got to be in the higher power, and I'll look forward to hearing more about that and being here at this good meeting. And I thank you all for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Roy. Okay, so it is 7:48, so we have time for two or three more. Who would like to share on page 26, the second paragraph? So he returned to his doctor.
Becky K.
Bonnie B. from
Becky
Florida.
Becky K.
Becky P. And someone from Florida?
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B. Okay, one more just in case.
Carmela G.
Carmela, okay. Let's go with Becky P., Anna B., and Carmela G.
Good morning, everyone. This is actually Becky K. from Maryland, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you for letting me share. This paragraph really resonated me because I also always wanted to regain self-control with my overeating. And I knew I had a problem for years and years and years, and went to various doctors or various diet clubs or tried various fads. And boy, oh boy, you know, every time I tried something new, I just in my heart and soul was like, this time I mean business. This time I'm going to roll up my sleeves and really, this is it. I'm doing it. And it was because I was leaning on my self-control. Within minutes or within days or within hours, I found myself, you know, face forward into, you know, the refrigerator, just overeating again and again and again. And it was like, and I was so upset. And I remember asking myself that very same question, why was this? Why can't I stop? And I came to OA and very simply, I found the answer. Step one, I'm powerless. Step two, God can help me. Step three, I think I'll let him. All of a sudden, through the grace of God and help of everyone in this program, I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And it's just one day at a time. And I think I've shared before, and it says in the big book, how do you stay recovered? We have a daily reprieve so long as we maintain our spiritual condition. And so I had to personally and with all my heart just recognize that I don't have any control over this. So self-control and ego had to go out the window. And boy, oh boy, that was really hard for me. Still is. But step one, I can't. Step two, God can. Step three, I think I'll let him. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Becky K. And now from Maryland. And now we'll have Anna B. and then Carmela G.
Hey, good morning, everyone. It's actually Bonnie B. And thank you so much. Bonnie B. from Florida.
Sorry, Bonnie.
That's so perfect. No problems. In the state of Minnesota for the next several weeks. You know, how grateful, oh my goodness, how grateful and how blessed am I to be in this program. Coming into this program, I knew I was a hot mess, but I still made the mistake of thinking it was everything plus God. I came into the program, it was like food plan plus God, people plus God. It was everything plus God, and that's backwards. It has to be God plus everything else. Why can I be away from my home for almost a full month and still live in a state of recovery? And I am gratefully recovered today by the grace of God, because it's God plus the rest. I do all the rest. I do the rest so that I can keep myself fit by the grace of God so I can be of service to others. And right now, my primary service to others is to my family. I came back for a funeral of my nephew. I'm visiting family. I'm actually sitting in the basement of the house I was born and raised in, the farmhouse I was born in, 62 years old. I'm in the basement in this bedroom, recovered by the grace of God, doing this program. It's God plus the rest. It's not religion plus the rest. It's a personal relationship plus the rest. God keeps me safe and protected. I even mixed that up when I came into the program because everything else took precedence. If I can keep God where God needs to be, in his rightful place, then he keeps me where I need to be, which is aligned with him. The food is secondary. Now, I have a food plan. I weigh and measure. I do all the tools, but the tools have never kept me recovered, will never keep me recovered. I tried that game. That was still the Bonnie show. I am so grateful that we have a plan, and the plan is God plus the rest. I used to think it was abstinence. It's not abstinence. It's connecting to God. God gives me the emotional sobriety. The abstinence is a roll-off. But man alive, do we have it all in this program, and I am so grateful for each and every one of you, and to be able to take this with me wherever I go and be safe and protected, a gift beyond words. And to those that are still suffering, stay here. You're in the right spot. Just keep coming back. It is a life beyond anything I could have ever dreamed. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks again. Blessings to you all.
Thank you, Bonnie. And I'm sorry for your loss. That's terrible. Okay, Carmela G., you're up. And that'll take us out. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you so much, Katie. And good morning to everyone. Control. That's how I lived my life for over 6 decades. It wasn't just self-control. It was control over everything. I was in charge. I would call myself Madam Full Charge. It took this program at the end of my 6th decade of life to make me realize that my first amends had to be to a power greater than myself that I call God. And my amends were so from the heart, from the inside out, that I did not want to have that role, and my amends were that I apologized for taking everyone's free will and wanting them to follow my direction. Today in this program, the gift is I can remember after I took step three and worked, and I was living in the steps initially, and I'll soon have 11 years of this glorious program. The one thing that I felt so relieved is that I am no longer in charge of the world and everyone. The peace and serenity and joy that come from daily surrender to God is the biggest gift that I can give myself. And with that, I pass. I wish you a beautiful, surrendered day.
Thank you, Carmela. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, June 19th, 2024, 7 a.m. meeting is 21,501. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Vicki V. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Katie. Vicki V. from New York here. Thank you for letting me be of service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come, if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.